thought leadership.
Now, the questioning process is not complete if you don't confirm with the person you are questioning.
Business ethics.
Most organizations do not have what you call codes of business conduct.
Personal development.
My daddy will always tell you, before you do so, ask why.
Yes. And much more.
I want to appreciate all you are doing. Please keep it up.
Tune in and join the conversation on Navigate with ID. Tuesdays from 3 to 4 p.m. on Lagos Talks 91.3. You can also follow ID on Twitter and Instagram at ID Enang.
This is Navigate with ID.
Well, my dear friends, welcome to Navigate with ID. As always, I will always give God Almighty all the glory and thank God for life. Today is a great day. It's a brand new month. You and I have been basking under the euphoria of goodness. We must but thank God for all the great things that we are enjoying and will continue to enjoy. Well, as always, it's important that I share with you what we've been doing. Just in case you're joining us for the first time, welcome. It's Navigate with ID. This is a program where we try to drive some semblance of development from a personal standpoint, try to give ourselves a sense of direction, and where we hold ourselves accountable in different ways. It's a place where we share, we learn, and by extension also, we also unlearn some of those things that hitherto we thought we are right. So I bid you welcome, first-time listeners. And for those of us who have been on the track, welcome. And as always, thank you for your feedback. Thank you for the numerous comments that you put at play, especially with this particular topic that we're looking at, which is around making life count. Making life count brings a lot to itself. It's a much more deeper dimension than you can imagine. And so we started looking at living a legacy-filled life, and we asked ourselves some very salient questions. But today, I want to build on that same direction, to ask certain questions. And as I ask the questions, I want you to bear this at the back of your mind, that it is about a legacy-filled life, that it's also about what we need to do differently. It is also a place where we need not just to take stock of our lives, but we need to define what the future life goal areas are and where we want to see ourselves. We also, as an objective, need to look at this month and this series as an opportunity to identify where we want to improve. You must look at where you want to improve. I must look at where I want to improve. And as a matter of principle, we'll also say to ourselves that we need to have a contract with one another. And this contract with yourself will be about how you will use all the principles and methodologies that we are sharing to make life count. There are several dimensions of this life. And like I've said in times past, these questions are very critical. So when you look at a legacy-filled life, you need to start from where you are. Where you are right now, my friend, are you thinking of posterity? So my first question is, do you think of posterity? Do you really think about the future? Do you think about what posterity means to you? Or maybe I should ask it in a different way. What does posterity mean to you? Many talk of generations. Do you understand what it takes to be a generational thinker? Do you think in the dimensions of generation? Let me throw this little tip. Almighty God is generational in nature. And God has set the tone of life in generations. That is why, for example, you think and talk about your ancestry and heritage. Okay, you have great-grandfather, grandfather, and you have a father or a mother. Your ancestry and heritage moves from generation to generation. You know, like one of the very beautiful ads I've always loved, it says, from generation to generation, this particular brand will always be there. That tells you that posterity is actually thinking posterity is actually living a legacy-filled life. And that is why, to a large extent, for many months and many weeks and years in the past, I kept hammering to most of us to say, hey, are you saving for tomorrow? I asked and demanded some of you to have alert accounts, not for any other reason but to save for that future, to start now. And I did say that alert is one coach that you must have. That alert can play alert from Wema Bank, can play that role as a coach, a financial coach, a development coach, and a coach that allows you prepare for posterity. But many of us chose not to. And when COVID hit, what happened? We started running helter-skelter. Some running around like headless chickens, looking for what was not lost. But you had the opportunity to look forward and ask yourself, what type of future do you want? Do you want a future that is fulfilled? Or you want one where you are carrying cap in hand and begging? Or you want one that you remain a perpetual dependent? So, my dear friends, are you thinking of how you will be addressed 3 decades or more from now? Take your age. Add 30. Add 40 to your age. What number will that be? That is how you must start looking at the future. That is posterity knocking in your door. That is posterity staring you in the face. How will you be addressed? Will you have people run around you and say, Grandpa, great-grandpa? Or you will have nobody. So when you have them, what does it take to have them? It means that starting from now, you need to plan your retirement. You need to plan that future. You need to look at your great-grandchildren now. And that's why my emphasis on looking at us fixing our country is very strong. Because you and I have no other country but Nigeria. Don't be fooled by many people that are telling you that they want to escape. Escaping from what to where? The grass is always greener on the other side. I'm not saying that you should not, of any necessity, take up another nationality. No, that's a personal choice. But one thing I know, that Almighty God knew why he decided to make you come through the seed of your father and the egg of your mother, and to implant you in such a place and location as Nigeria. Of course, it could have been anywhere, but that he chose to make it Nigeria, and being Nigerian, there must be a reason. So it's for you to now dig in and understand, what is my life purpose and where am I supposed to be at time T, occasion O, second S? If you do not go through that process, then how do you make life count? It means you just be a passerby, or at best a passenger who's waiting to be ferried or carried or parried. That's not life, friends. If we fix our country, then it is sure that we'll be addressed 3 decades from now. We'll have life expectancy. We'll move away from the very paltry numbers looking out. Now everybody's confused, because I personally believe that you can't tell me that the life expectancy of someone in Lagos and the life expectancy for someone in the villages, the very rural areas, will be the same. But it could also even up, because poverty has ridden the entire landscape. But you know what? It can be fixed. It can be fixed when Nigerians arise. It can be fixed when every one of us takes stock of life and ask ourselves one basic question. How do I want to be addressed 3 decades from now? Do you think our current leaders are thinking about 3 decades from now? They are not thinking, because most of them are in their 70s. Many of them have cut their ages. If it were possible to cut further, they will tell you they are in their 60s, when most of them are climbing the mountain of 70 into 80. There's nothing wrong with you declaring that you are an octogenarian. But our own will want to cut it so that they can stay relevant. And in the process, you find them looking so feeble and they cannot add value to our lives. Is that the kind of life you want to live? You have a lot of headroom ahead of you. If you are in your 20s and you are listening to me, 3 decades from now, by the grace of God, you'll be in your 50s. If you are in your 30s, 3 decades from now, you'll be in your 60s. If you are age 40, 3 decades from now, you'll be age 70 plus. How would you want to be addressed at that time? Between now and then, friends, I'm asking and I'm pulling this to you. How do you want to be addressed? How are you going to make life count? How do we make this country great again? How do we make this state and every state of our federation great? How do we work through to make our communities better? How do we work towards making our homes richer? Richer, not in terms of naira and kobo, but richer in terms of values. The only way we can survive this is when you and I are serious and begin to live a legacy-filled life. When does the generational clock kick in for you? You have to know that. You have to answer that. Is it when you have children only? Or it also includes the non-biological children? I mean, there are several. I say this with every sense of modesty and glory to God. There are several people that are on scholarship by the grace of God that I've met. They are not my kids. They are not my children. Some of them are graduated from tertiary institutions. Most of them have come out of tertiary institutions. A few are still on the pathway. And how? It is just an incident of life. I can tell you about three particular, I will not mention their names because I do not want to embarrass them. Neither am I trying to show off. But I'm telling you about a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. That I did not decide to do the things I did because I wanted to be selfish and I wanted it to be only about my children. No! There's a certain young man, by the way, he's a Muslim by faith. This was about 8 years ago. My mom was going to turn 70. And we were going to have a party for my mom to celebrate her 70th birthday. At that time, there was tasty fried chicken at Festac Town. Because my mom's birthday is on the 26th of June. So you can see it will naturally fall on environmental. When we agreed to make that surprise birthday for her, we didn't kind of recollect that it would be environmental. It was at the last minute after we had, you know, sent out all the invites, done all the usual stuff, because my parents stayed at Satellite Town. And it then dawned on me, and I said to my younger ones, oh my God, we are now going to have to manage ourselves because everything has to start from 12 rather than 10, where we imagined. So it was more about shifting the time, but not shifting the date, because our birthday fell on the exact day, and it was to honor her. If there's one woman that I will give God glory until God takes me and takes her, you know, from planet Earth, that I've given honor and I will continue to give honor to, is my mother, because I know she's done so much for me, including my father too. But my mom is very special. We are very close. You know how it is with your first son, first child, whatever, and the mother, that kind of thing. But here's the gist I'm trying to tell you. And so that Friday into Saturday night, I approached the management of Tasty and I said to them, can we, you know, walk through the night and set the tables and everything, because we will not be able to move during Saturday, the environmental. And then they graciously allowed us. But here's what happened. When we got to the venue, my younger brother and I, Idong, it so happened that the staff were not that cooperative. You know how this thing is. But one young man, this young man stayed up with us from 7 p.m. till about 11. We arranged the entire hall we are going to use. We did everything, cleaned the place. He joined us. And then at some point, I called him and I said, young man, do you work here? He said, yes. I said, why didn't you go like the others? He said, because he saw that it was just my brother and I, that ideally he would have gone home. But he just said, let him just help this man. Do you know then? I then said to him, so how much do they pay you? How much? Why? And he said to me, I'm paid this amount. And I said, you're such a great steward. Now, rewind about our conversation about stewardship. And then I said to him, okay, thank you. I said, so I started asking questions. So what kind of qualification do you have? He said he has an OND. And I said, why have you not advanced? He said that's why he's working, but it will take him a longer time than he can go back to school. So I said to him, if you truly want to go to this school and you want to have your HND and all that, how long will it take you? He says he needs another 2 to 3 years to make it happen. Then I said to him, and I called my other sister, and I said to her, I said, here's what you're going to do. Go look for that admission. Whatever school, whatever place, get the admission. And when you come, here is my card. Look for me. And I left him. I said, I appreciate what you've done. I did not give him anything out of the ordinary. Yes, you can always give him a transport fare, blah, blah. That's not what I'm talking about. But all I did was I gave him my card. And I said, this card, when you cross that bridge, use this card. It's a lifeline. I left that young man. Fast forward to a few months after that. Now, this was 8 years ago. This young man traced me to my office. And when he did, he got in there and he said he was looking for this man. The security brought him into my office and I said, yes. He showed me all the papers. Now, let's fast forward. 3 years later, this young man came to then, as it was called, my church, Lateran Assembly, on a Sunday. He brought his certificate and my wife and I took a picture with him. But you know what? You can say he's Muslim, but I can tell you from that time till today, he has never stopped reaching out to me. The question is, why did I do it? I didn't do it because it was of another faith. I just did it because it is what is expected to be your brother's keeper. He had the selfsame spirit to stand, sacrifice that time to assist my brother and I. And I had to look for one thing that will be memorable in his life. Is there anything memorable that you can make happen for your brother or sister that is Nigerian? Is there? Each time you see a fellow brother or sister in need. Now, by no means, a lot of fakes have come on. In fact, one of such that I'm going to painfully mention on this show, a certain man that was impaired, visually impaired, on Navigate with ID some years back, last year or the year before, we spent over 240,000 naira to buy him a braille machine. The minute we did that, I tell you till this day, that man is still sending me text messages and telling me that he is blind and he needs help. Somebody I brought to the show, we presented, and he actually called in to say he needed it to be able to fend, do some things and feed his family. As I speak to you today, I still get his text messages. I do not want to embarrass him by calling his name. There are many people like that that do not deserve. But you know what? There's a place called grace. If God has granted us grace to be able to do what we want to do, then we should make life count. Not just for ourselves. Make for whatever you make happen for another, God will surely make happen for you. Now, I'm not coming here to tell you I'm the best thing that happened since sliced bread. But as long as the Lord lives, anytime I have the opportunity, I want to be able to make a difference in somebody's life. Let somebody make contact with you. And when that person is leaving you, that person will leave fulfilled. Not sad. But many of us are sadists. Many of us don't want any good of the other. So how do we build our country? How do we start addressing ourselves 3 decades from now? How do you want to be addressed as a great-grandfather or a grandfather? Do you want to be addressed as that wicked man? Or you want to be addressed as that man that is a father and a father indeed? Look at the way our politicians and our leaders are living as if there's no tomorrow. And yet some of them are dropping like chickens. And when they finish dropping, then everybody will be compelled to now start saying things that are not true. But you know what? The people around them know. And they celebrate. Even the Bible talks about it. When the evil man is ruling, there's a lot of groaning. But when the righteous is in power, you find happiness everywhere. Why can't you be that one righteous man? And I'm going to start on this phase. As I'm about to take a little break, you must start from where you are. is this what I want my life to be? That question is for you, my brother. It's for you, my sister. It's for you, my friend. It's for you, Mr. Senator, Mr. House of Rep, Mr. President, Mr. Governor, whatever title you have, manager, director, MD. You know, honestly, if only people can understand that the hood doesn't make the monk. I don't care whatever title you call me. I've secured titles upon titles. They were about certain roles. Today, I don't wear them in the other clothes. After a while, you have to tear it. A title is like a cloth. After a while, it will not fit you again. You drop it and pick up the next one. You always walk in a place of newness. So why do men want to die because of titles? When you are just simply Mr. or Mrs. But others want to be known, right? Honorable, doctor, this. And you, when you don't have anything, that's when you need a lot of things to patch it. When a house is not well built or inside is not okay, that's when patching must enter, so that they must patch it and make it look okay. But you know that really, the hood does not make the monk. Is this what I want my life to be? Is my life going to be about titles? Or I want to make my life count. I want to make the lives of other Nigerians count. I want to live a legacy-filled life. This is the real McCoy. As we sit in this month of August, I'm going to inundate you with this because you must be able to ask yourself some salient questions and come to the fullness and fulfillment of being gracious to God Almighty who has given you life. And extend the same to your brother and your sister. What stops you from being a help? What stops you from being a helper? What stops you from being all the things you want to do? And by the way, you know, I want to say this again as an aside. A few years back, I was invited by my community, right in Ikoyidem. Ikoyidem is in Ikorokpene local government area of Akwa Ibom State. I was given the title Obonwam. Obonwam means the chief helper. The whole community, I have all of the whole community rose up, the village head, the entire space. There was nothing they did not do. They even said to me, oh, name the street after me. Till this day, I don't even know where the street is. I've never bothered to go check. But why did they give me that title, Obonwam, which I don't use, by the way? Not that I do not appreciate, I received it. Everything they gave to me, I received. But I'm saying to you that you don't find me going about to say Obong Idienang. It's not necessary. That was yesterday. I will not be a strand of yesterday. I want to be futuristic. What is my future going to be? So many of those youths that made them come together to say, this is our chief helper. What will you be called beyond the ones that you've been called before? Many of you don't know that it is what the future has that you will be called by, not what you wear when you are moved away from the past. We'll take a short break, and when I come back, we'll move from there and ask ourselves some more salient questions. Don't go away. It's Navigate with ID.
Thought leadership.
Now, the questioning process is not complete if you don't confirm with the person you are questioning.
Business ethics.
Most organizations do not have what you call codes of business conduct.
Personal development.
My daddy will always tell you, before you do so, ask why.
Ask why.
Yes.
And much more.
I want to appreciate all you are doing. Please keep it up.
Tune in and join the conversation on Navigate with ID. Tuesdays from 3 to 4 p.m. on Lagos Talks 91.3. You can also follow ID on Twitter and Instagram at ID Enang.
Welcome back, dear friends. It's Navigate with ID. I hope I didn't set your brain on fire. And if I did, all good. Important thing is that your heart has, you know, gotten to the place where you have to guard it with all diligence, because out of it proceeds the issues of life. And in, just in case you're joining and you just tune into this program and you're wondering, okay, what is this? What is this all about? It's about making life count. And we're looking at a topic, living a legacy-filled life. And there were questions I asked in the first half. My questions were as follows. Number one, do you think of posterity? Do you think posterity? Number two, what does posterity mean to you? Many talk of generations. Do you understand what it takes to be a generational thinker. And I did give a sidekick to say God Almighty is generational in nature. And God set the tone of life in generations. That is why, for example, you and I think of our common ancestry and heritage. We think about our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and so on and so forth. Now, I then ask the fourth question. Are you thinking of how you will be addressed 3 or more decades from now? When does the generational clock kick in for you? Is it when you have children only? Or does it even include the non-biological children, which, of course, whatever you do to the least of my brothers, you do to me. And we went through those motions, and just before we went on the break, I asked the question, where you are right now, you need to ask yourself, is this what I want my life to be? When you sit at a particular space and you ask that question, and you are truthful and honest with yourself, you'll begin to say to yourself, if I'm going to be plus 30, my age now, add 30 or 40 to it. Like I did say, if you're in your 20s, add 30, you'll be in your 50s. If you're in your 30s, add 30, you'll be in your 60s. You'll be Diamond Jubilee Plus. And if you're 40s or 40 and above, just add 30. And if you're in my own, you know, space above 50, then you know that, hey, we'll probably be in our 80s. You know, this is not about listening to Kool and the Gang. This is, you know, 80 plus, you know that, wow, strong men, strong family, strong everything, trusting God for that life. But the big question is, are you thinking of how you'll be addressed then? If you are, what are you doing now about that future? If you do, as a leader, as a politician, as a steward, as a man that is given some responsibility, will you act the way you are acting now? Is this what you want your life to be? That every point in time, they are pointing at you and calling you names. That they are addressing you as Mr. What? Mr. Why? Mr. Who? Because of the things that you've done? Between now and then, the waters will be turbulent. Between now and then, in some cases, you might be stuck in a jam. But how do you make life count? Between now and that time, some of us may be lost, like we're being lost in the desert. Between now and then, some may go through some inclement weather. I mean, just take a cue from this year. Brand COVID came in, and the minute it came in this year, it ravaged everything and reset everything around the world. That is some phenomenon that nobody planned and is going to remain for us for a long time. You know why? Because there's a new normal. I still listen to people talk about when COVID goes to where? To your village. It's already here. What COVID represents, it's a reset of everything around us. So if you are not set in your ways, you will have to reset. And when you reset, you need to ask yourself some salient questions. And the best question is, what is important in my life? What is important about life? The good book says you should love your neighbor as yourself. How many of you truly love your neighbors? And, you know, like they asked the Lord himself and said, who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor? As you're listening to me, who is your neighbor? Do you just see neighbors coming from those that live around your area or live next door to you? Do you realize that your colleague in the office is your neighbor? Do you realize that the man you're walking past in the marketplace is a neighbor? Do you, in any way or form or shape, have regards for that man or that boy or that girl? When you see a young man making a wrong call, do you stop him and do you see him as your son? Do you see him as your nephew? Do you see him as one of your cousins? If he were one of those characters I mentioned, Would you allow them walk past you and make such a wrong call, or you stop them dead in the tracks? Many times, we have failed to call caution to ourselves because we are lackadaisic, very lackadaisical in nature. Who cares? I beg, don't be my problem. It is because as nation builders, we want to build a nation that our children, our grandchildren, and great-grandchildren will be blessed because we came before them. The rate at which we are going, I'm sorry, if we do not change, then something dramatic is going to happen. Not to the nation, but to the people, because the people that make up the nation. If we are so divisive and we do not have regard for human life, it means those of you that are shouting now and about those in power, when you get in, you'll be worse because you've embraced the wrong things. And when you come in, you are not going to change those wrong things because you would say it's your own time and your turn to make the best of it. Otherwise, I don't understand why a government can come in and profess change and they turn out not to have changed. Otherwise, I don't understand why we are just sitting ducks and we don't even know if we are being led or we are leading. Otherwise, I don't understand why people that are put in authority, that are meant to go serve the nation, turn around and still people are given responsibilities, either in terms of sit over the pensions, retirees, funds of retirees, and people just take them and do all kinds. They want to live a life of material possessions. So I ask again, what do you think is important in the lives of those people? And I'm going to say what I said last week again. Many of us are going around with material mesmerism. Material possessions have consumed us. We are passionate about taking. I want more. The young people now are all about, and I don't blame them. Because what they see ahead of them, when you sit down every day, you are inundated. You read the newspapers, the headlines is talking about 2 billion stolen. You turn on the television and they're saying somebody is there, I've announced 500 billion. And then you put on the radio, you're hearing billion. Your head will now turn to a bullion van because you remove the I and you put the U. So don't be surprised that young men become bullion vans. You know, after all they've heard, there is no way it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because it's a myth. And then we turn around and say that the young lads, who are they copying it from? I just wish that there was a provision like they have in other climes where men are found, you know, to have stolen the common patrimony. They are brought out. I don't say they should do anything, but they just drop their pants and give them 12 strokes of the cane. I mean, I don't know all of this. Let's go. Because they perverted justice. Any land where law and order does not exist is a jungle. And we are moving close to being a jungle rather than being a place that we can call a nation. And that is why we behave the way we behave. In most cases, I beg to really say this, but I apologize. In some cases, animals are more sensible in what they do than what we have. Is that life? Is that legacy? So rather than sit down on a justice system that is not working, let us go back to the good old days where they will bring the man to the square and then they will shame him. That shame alone, a lot of people are not, these days, they're not, they will just steal 2 billion, they catch a slap on the wrist, the man is walking around, still his children are still going with PJs, not pajamas, private jets, and then they are flying everywhere, feeling cool. In those days, they will put you on the square, when they strip you naked, your children and that household, they'll become outcasts. So I think we should go back to that time, when you are found to have stolen, they drop your pants there to national television, and you have flogged 12 strokes of the cane. The man open his bum bum and smack him 12 strokes and then allow the koboko, the one that has like 6 strands. When they give him one, that's 6 strokes. By the time you multiply by 12, it will be 72. Because what is important in his life is putting his time and energy to steal. And when a man steals, he will kill. When a man kills, he's destroying. Until we get to that point, then the life of an average Nigerian will never count. Until we begin to look at whether it's your job or career, whether it's about learning, whether it's about education, whether it's about health, whether it's about, I mean, when I talk about physical health and well-being, you must begin to ask yourself a question. Are you a steward or not? Stewardship, friends, is what is going to make us turn around who we are. I want you to understand that your contribution to serving this nation will go in no little way, but a great way to resuscitate and make Nigeria great again. I want you to understand that it means cutting the right relationships. It means having an accountable relationship. It means when you sit in a place and someone is doing something that is wrong, correct him. Don't walk away. Don't be a passerby. Tell him or her, oh God, that thing you're doing is wrong. If a man is doing something that is wrong, call him to order. If a woman is doing what is wrong, call her to order. If anybody is doing anything wrong, just do it. Even if you are the lone voice, if all of us bring up our lone voices, then we will become voices of reason. We'll begin to make life count. We'll begin to call things and people will straighten up. It starts from family and friends. It starts from friends and every other person. But at the end, it's about service to humanity. What do you want to be remembered for? I started by saying, friends, I want you to have a contract with yourself. Please, I beg you by the mercies of God. And this contract is really sitting down and saying, what will it feel when I realize the changes I need to make? And what changes do I need to make in my life? I want you, my dear friends, let us have a contract with ourselves. This contract we want to have is one that will help us walk through to make life count, to live a legacy-filled life. As mundane and as little as this, you can ask yourself, what are my goals? What will these goals do for me or for others? Very simplistic. How will it feel to realize changes in my life? What commitments am I prepared to make? And more importantly, what important commitment am I prepared to make right now? It is a choice. It is a decision. If you want to make life count for you, for others, if you want to live a legacy-filled life, it's important that you go through this contract with yourself. I've made it very simple. I don't want to make it complex with too much turenchi, but I'll go through those 5 points again. This contract with yourself, I will do the same. What are my goals? Number two, what will these goals do for me or for others? Number three, how will it feel to realize changes in my life? Number four, what commitments, and the commitments are personal, what personal commitments am I prepared to make? And number five, what important personal commitment am I prepared to make right now? When you take that and follow through each of these, I can assure you that you'll start the process of writing and what you want to be addressed 30 years from now. You might think 30 years is far. I tell you, it is just next door. And so, my dear friends, while I look forward to all your comments, your questions, if you want to follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, my handle is at IDYENANG. Should you want to ask questions or there are things that bother you, you can send an email to contact@navigatewithid.com. The ID is spelled IDY. I'll be more than happy, you know, to walk with you through this contract. And then together, we will get to that place called there by the grace of God. Thank you so much for listening. I hope by the time we finish this series in this month, you will rise to say, I surely have what it takes to make life count for me and for others. God bless you.